This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're talking about the United States' biggest crop. It's corn.
They will always tell you that corn is like their family. Corn is their family. You treat corn like you would treat your family.
These subsidy programs are supposed to be for really dealing with unexpected things that happen to farmers. Although in practice, a lot of times, farmers are actually paid farm subsidies for things that we can control and do expect.
There's this constant warfare going on between the oil industry and the grain industry.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
To Life's a Banquet, a show about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable, and risable, with your hosts, me, an Easter Bunny.
And me, Batman.
Oh, wow. J'excuse, you throw us for a curveball. Bonjour, Batman. Comment ça va?
He's like the most Easter-y superhero, obviously.
That's true. Well, he is a bat, and a bat is similar, I guess, to a bunny. So you're correct.
Yeah, really, they're hard to tell apart.
That's funny. I thought maybe you were going to say, like, Jake Gyllenhaal or something, because he played an Easter bunny in Donnie Darko.
Would we call that an Easter bunny? God, Donnie Darko is such a time capsule. Like, you can never go back. That movie's not good, but it was in the moment.
It was great in the moment, and it was one of those movies when you were, you know, younger, like a teen, and you're like, I saw this movie. I bought this movie on DVD at Tower Records for $9.99. But those kind of movies are important because I think it made me start one of the films that made me start to be interested in, like, liking what quote-unquote good movies. But you're correct. No movie about the Easter Bunny is good, including Donnie Darko.
No. But good soundtrack.
Yeah. And Drew Barrymore is a delight.
Drew Barrymore's in that movie?
Yes,
oh, she plays
Nicole.
the smoking teacher.
She plays Santa Claus. This is a movie about mystical heroes. Yes, exactly.
Right. She's a teacher smoking cigarettes.
Speaking of evil monsters, I think that we should begin this show by talking about what is clearly on everybody's mind. Now, this is part funny and also part not funny at all, but you sent me a link earlier today to a common obsession of ours,
let me set this up, because I actually would never have known about Chet Hanks if you hadn't told me about him. I didn't know that he existed. Thank God.
Thank God. Can I quickly say how I told you about Chet Hanks? Because that in itself is a funny story.
Well, I knew about him. No, I don't think I did. When we were at the protest?
Exactly. So yeah. I was at a protest this summer walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, and it was a silent protest. And there was a awful, toxic, corny, every word you could use to describe the epitome of, like, corny ass white guy, just like overly making his presence known and being as big as he possibly could instead of as small as he possibly could, which would have been the goal. And he was yelling and screaming when it was supposed to be a silent protest and just, like, being awful. And these younger kiddos behind me whisper to each other and they go, "Who invited Chet Hanks?" And I died laughing. I was laughing so hard, and I looked back at them and they laughed and we all laughed together. And it was great.
A moment.
I told Nicole about it. And then, go ahead. Now you pick up the story.
Well,
pick up the baton.
First of all, I want to apologize to everybody for being on Twitter, which is where I now get all of my pop culture news. And I know it's annoying, but I'm busy. Not really. My Twitter days are coming to an end, though. I think I had a moment where I was like, I simply must read Twitter at all times to find out what's going on around the election times. And then I just sort of kept going. And now I just realize that it is a dark place. But because of Twitter, I found out about White Boy Summer, but didn't actually know that it was Chet Hanks. Oof. until I saw this article that's called "Why is Chet Hanks like this?"
I have it pulled up. I've read it a couple times. It's amazing.
Is just the question that you have in your mind. You're like, how did this happen? Because, you know, Colin Hanks seems fine. But so this article does not answer the question why Chet Hanks is like this. But in case you guys don't know, Chet Hanks is the other son of Tom and Rita Wilson. Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. And he is just a cringy white rapper who said that white rappers should be allowed to use the N-word in rapping, and he uses Jamaican patois to speak as a joke, according to him.
According he says to him, it's just the same as using a British accent.
Yes.
Which is not course, correct.
That is not true. Which
is wrong.
And so he posted on Twitter or Instagram or something that it was going to be a white boy summer and everyone needed to, like, get ready for that. And, of course, the internet was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? You are so stupid. And tone deaf, how can you be Tom Hanks' son?
How is it? Tom Hanks, please call into the show. What went wrong with this child?
I think it's true, though, like, privileged children, for the most part, turn out bad. So, like, the children who live in that much wealth and, like, that much... Also, he's been in movies with his dad, which I did not know.
I know.
And he's also an actor who's... They let him be in movies. And I'm like, if they let Chet Hanks be in movies, then they should let me be in movies. Because I'm...
That obviously works cooler. Out. 100%. Also, you're related to Tom Hanks. Now, look... Here's what I think. I think that I envision this relationship as sweet as pie Tom Hanks, who, I mean, that's the perception we get of him. Although we have unpacked on this show earlier, in earlier episodes, that Tom Hanks is also a monster. See the movie You've Got Mail, for instance, when he eats all the caviar.
He played a monster. As far as we know, he was acting.
Okay, fine. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's actually the nicest person ever to live. He has this son. He's privileged. He, like, thinks he's a rapper. He just has, you know, he was born bad. And Tom Hanks, I can just see him being too sweet and, like, wanting to be like, okay, son, well, Chet, you're going to be a white rapper. Well, good for you, my boy. Tell me about that. You know what I mean? Like, I can picture him just, like, wanting to encourage his son because he's just, like, such a sweetly natured person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't think he was... I mean, this is nature versus nurture. You think that Chet was just, like, given to them by the Lord above, already speaking Jamaican patois?
No, the Lord below. I think that 99% of people in this world are good and, like, just people, except for Chet Hanks. He's one of the people who was born evil.
I just Ted Bundy. People, there's countless examples of children born into extreme privilege who are literally monsters. And honestly, we don't know. Colin Hanks could be a monster too. He just looks so much like his dad. Chet looks nothing like his dad.
I don't believe that he's related to him at all.
But
I
they think also, that they need to share some of the blame for this. They raised this man. They also named him Chet.
I know. But I don't think that they thought he was going to be a white rapper who did patois when they named him Chet.
When they looked
in
their newborn
son. I mean, that's awful in a whole nother way.
They looked in their newborn son's face and they're like, this is Chet? Like, what?
That's how I feel about people who name their kid fucking Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, Hogarth. Look at him. He's adorable. Let's call him Keith. Sorry to all our Keith listeners, particularly Keith Hernandez.
I like the name Keith. I have an Uncle Keith.
Well... Look, please don't ever introduce... I don't have good experience with the name Keith, but
I just
that's
like,
neither
if your
here
name
nor
is
there.
Keith, you are skiing. You're always skiing.
Oh, no. I think of a Keith as constantly sniffing cocaine. Not
what's,
snorting
that's
it.
The same.
Sniffing
that's,
it.
That's the same thing.
I think it's because all I think about is Keith Hernandez when I think about Keiths. And he's definitely the most famous Keith. I guess maybe Keith Urban. I don't know much about him, but I think he sniffs cocaine as well.
Did you miss my hilarious joke that skiing is the same as sniffing cocaine?
I did actually miss it.
Yeah,
yes.
Stop going on a rant and listen to my hilarious jokes.
I'm glad you repeated it. I had a one-track mind. I was just thinking about Keith Hernandez smoking cigarettes in the dugout.
Keith Hernandez.
If you say Keith Hernandez three times, he appears to you in the mirror.
What are the other famous Keiths? There's Keith Thurston.
Toby
Sutherland.
Keith. That's it. There's only two famous Keiths, Toby Keith, but that's his last name, and I don't really know who that is.
And Keith or Sutherland.
Look, Keith or Sutherland. Looky here, buddy. If they had named their son Keith Hanks, I think he would have had a better shot. And that's a lot to say because, as you know now, I don't like the name Keith, but I think Keith would have turned out a lot better than Chet. There's
what
no
is Chet
way
short
a Chet
for?
Turns out to be good.
It must know, be a nickname.
Cheddar cheese?
Charles?
Probably.
Chester?
Matt, can you weigh in here? Could you please do some research and tell us what Chet's short for?
It's the full
Wait,
name.
I'm sorry. What was the what is the question? What is what short for?
You need
Have
to
you
pay
even
attention
been listening?
To our podcast.
Have you even been listening to this? Is comic gold here? We're talking about comic.
I was racking my brain trying to think of Keith's, and I can't come up with any.
Oh, got it.
The one I know from my personal life makes me think the cocaine thing was right, and well, I also missed the skiing joke.
Because Zara talked over me for everyone. I said skiing is the same as doing a lot of cocaine. That is true because
it's called
true. Skiing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's true and it's funny. Now
it
look,
so
Matt.
Good.
Matt, we're talking about Colin Hanks's brother, Chet Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, his Chet. Yeah. Chet Hanks.
Wait, didn't you say Colin Hanks's brother? Colin Hanks's brother. That's what she said.
Colin Hanks's brother.
Yes.
Rita Wilson's son.
It
We're
is,
not even mention Tom.
It is for Chester. It's freaking Chester. So they looked at their newborn son and they named him Chester.
This guy had no hope from the fucking get-go, okay? He had no chance at being a decent guy. We're not going to grow up to be a humanitarian or a union leader named Chester. Sorry to all our Chester listeners, particularly Chester Cheese, the cheese doodle mascot. Lord,
no.
We should go after them for sponsorship.
Absolutely.
Like,
this
listen to
show.
All the good things we said about people named Chet and Keith.
I do like cheese. And I love whatever that thing is, a jaguar, leopard, big cats, big fan. All right.
This is a great gift you've given me, though. I was not familiar with Chet Hanks.
We forgot about Keith Haring. He's famous.
Oh, you know, I'm... Okay, as we speak, I'm looking at a Keith Haring print that's on my wall that actually says Keith Haring underneath it. He's good Keith. Definitely and, probably did coke.
Also, cool Keith.
That's true. Cool Keith, otherwise known as Dr. Octagon. He was a doctor.
Probably also did cocaine, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the song Blue Flowers is about. All right, so we got some good Keiths in the mix.
And then Keith Sweat, hello.
And Keith Murray.
Who's that?
Keith Murray, most famous, he's a rapper. His most famous song was like, She Looks Like a Candy Bar. I'm going to sing on a podcast. She looks like a, she looks like a, she looks like a, she looks like a candy bar.
Mm.
No, she looks like a movie star, like a chocolate candy bar. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chocolate
anyway,
candy bars are notoriously unattractive, but whatever you guys got to do to rhyme it.
Look, take this up with my buddy Keith. Oh, my friend Keith. I actually do have a buddy Keith. Keith Metro.
And
he's
also,
amazing. We were in an accident together.
Keith Richards definitely did cocaine.
Oh, of course. Keith. Yeah, that's a real Keith, okay? Now, if that's... he's a Keith if I've ever seen one.
Now, that Keith
honest.
Richards, he's definitely been literally skiing in wet snow and doing cocaine at the same time.
Totally.
Yeah, that seems right.
And he also, like, snorted his father's ashes. But we're moving far, far away from how
we
began.
Well, this is a great... No, snorting your father's ashes is a great segue into our topic, which is Easter.
Oh, right, it's Easter. True.
Oh, man.
True story. We are talking about Easter, and
the
for all
ashes
of you,
of our collective father, Jesus.
Segway queen.
Segway queen. So that's the part of the sacrament that they don't often tell you about at church. You take the body, and then you snort a little bit of the burned up hair.
Yeah, you just snort. You crumble up the wafer, the Necco wafer, and you snort that right up. It's the body of Christ.
Try that at your next church party. I don't know what church is really like. I'm assuming it's a party. I've never been.
At your next Christian singles mixer.
I'm crying.
Oh my God.
Oh Lord. Okay.
Next church party. Oh Lord.
You do the limbo, whatever else
I'm
happens
sure.
at a party.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about Easter.
Yeah. So I was originally going to do like the pagan history of Easter, but it was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't really doing it for me. So I switched to just traditional Easter foods. And why do we eat them? Why?
Oh, amazing. Well, it's going to confuse everyone in our show notes. I promised pagan rituals.
Well, don't worry, because blood. Pagan rituals does come in here.
Okay, great. So often. All you pagans out there, please don't turn off the show. There's something for everyone here.
All right. Also, this is my fault. Please don't blame Zara. This is me and my cocaine addiction.
Her real name is Keith.
But so I got all of this information from culturetrip.com, jellybelly.com, foodandwine.com, and America's favorite website, huffingtonpost.com.
Amazing.
So then I'm just going to start off with hot cross buns, which is not something that I even knew was a traditional Easter thing, but the internet says it is, so I have to believe them. I simply must.
I almost bought one today. I went to Caputo's to order my bread for the week for the pop-up, and they had freaking hot cross buns in there. Yeah. I was like, these things look fine.
Yeah, they're good.
What is the deal?
It's because the end of Lent and Good Friday and all that shit. Okay. So traditionally, you eat a hot cross bun on Good Friday to mark the end of Lent, at which point you've been fasting for 40 days, so you're starving. You know, you don't have to stop eating everything, though. You just choose an item, I think. I didn't really look into that. But as far as I know, you don't have to just completely not eat for 40 days because I think that would be dangerous.
You might perish. I have a feeling a lot of people would perish at that point.
So, yeah, your neighborhood would have way less people because there's definitely, like, Catholics in your neighborhood.
Yeah. You should see what they do here on Easter. All these old ladies.
Parade of the Ascension.
Yes, they do. The old ladies dress up in black. They have a big, I'm not even kidding, they have like a giant like zombie Jesus, regular Jesus's paper mache things. Everyone's playing, like, it's awesome. There's like marching bands in the street, but it's very dark. It's all very dark, people, which, like, I like.
Loudly weep to like commemorate when they walked with Jesus with the cross.
Correct. A lot of wailing. I'll take a video of it. I think it's like pretty awesome. Like, I like seeing like the old school traditions. I have no idea what it signifies or means. It could be, you know, pure like Chet Hanks level evilness, but it looks cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about that. So I was raised Catholic, but we switched to denominations when I was 6. In the 12th century, a monk invented hot cross buns. He was just like hanging out, being a monk. It's the year 11 something. And he's like, oh, hey, guys, look what I made. And he was like, this is probably good for Good Friday. You know what I'm saying? And everyone's like, definitely. Thank you. Until the 16th century. Luckily, he had died by then.
Thank the Lord.
Queen Elizabeth started freaking out, and she decided that you can only, by law, you can only have hot cross buns on Good Friday, Christmas, and when someone's dead and you're burying them.
Imagine you're burying someone you love and shoving a hot cross bun into your mouth. It's so odd.
And it's like the 1500s, so everything's very unsanitary, so wash your hands.
You're just eating plague.
But the reason why she was like, oh my God, you can't have these all the time is because people thought that they actually had mystical medicinal properties. So they thought that they actually were magical in some way. And she didn't want people to just make them all the time and have the magic just flying around the whole country of England.
Totally. Makes sense.
But
rational fear.
Basically ignored the law and started making them at home. And then the law was rescinded. So it didn't really work. Then the British decided to colonize Jamaica in the 1650s, as they do, and they brought their medicinal magical buns with them. And so what we have now in Jamaica is called the Jamaican Easter bun, which is actually kind of like a loaf. I've had one before. They're really good. But it's because the British were like, oh my God, here we are. We're colonizing you. We're destroying your entire way of life forever. But here's a hot cross bun. Here you go.
And then centuries later, Colin Hanks decided to do the exact same thing.
Chet Hanks.
Right. I'm so sorry, Colin Hanks. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Name of Colin.
Just dragging Colin Hanks under the bus, talking about how he's a colonizer. Excuse me. I'm sure he couldn't be much better. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. It's just a coincidence that the British colonizing Jamaica came up in this research and Chet Hanks happened at the same time. So I think this means something.
It's a sign.
Read into this what you will. Okay, so moving on from hot cross buns, we're going to talk about eggs.
Ugh.
Okay, yum. So according to Huffington Post, if they are to be believed, eggs symbolize fertility and birth. Christians perceive the egg as the resurrection of Jesus, where the egg represents Jesus. So I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I've never heard this. I was raised in the church, went to Easter, had an Easter dress every Sunday that was Easter. You know, I had a lot of church experiences, and I'd never heard that the egg is associated with the resurrection of Jesus. So I had to do a little bit more research. So what I found out is that, I guess, in the Bible, once Jesus rose from the dead and he came out of the cave and he's like, what's up, guys? Mary Magdalene ran over to the Roman emperor, and I guess she was allowed to just like go see him. I don't really know how that works, but she was like, hey, listen, Roman emperor, Jesus is raised from the dead and here's an egg as a present. And he was like, ma'am, I do not believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. And the only way that I could ever possibly believe that is if this egg that I'm holding turns red. And then it did.
Is that how we got Cadbury cream eggs with their fiery red center?
No. Yes. Technically, yes. Okay. So then, you know, fast forward to Mesopotamia. And
yada, 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 Mesopotamia.
The Fertile Crescent, whatever. The Christians there were the first ones to make Easter dyeing a thing. So they would dye the eggs red to symbolize the blood of Christ.
Oh, interesting.
And they actually, the reason that they know this is because they found red eggs buried in graves in Mesopotamia. So they're like,
oh my God.
These bitches were into Easter and they were Christian already, even though it was the year 11.
Fascinating.
So, or, you know, 1175 or something. In Bulgaria, well, basically they say in Eastern Europe is where they started painting them in like elaborate designs. But in Bulgaria, the first painted egg is like a tradition. So you give someone in your family or like your loved one, you give them a painted egg and it has to be red. And then they keep that egg for the entire year. And it symbolizes prosperity and the well-being of the family. So you keep that egg somewhere in your house and dust it off. And
that's stinky when I would say maybe, is over.
Yeah. But, you know, if you put a little pinhole in it and you can drain the...
Oh, you know, this is a perfect time to mention an old friend of mine who passed away. His name was Sheldon. And Sheldon was a little egg that came to us at Brucey, maybe the year 2012, 13. And he had a little feather stuck on top of his head. And I just loved it. It gave me, I laughed and laughed at it. I drew a face on him. And then as like the days and weeks passed, I kept aging him. And he started smoking. I drew a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And then I drew a beard. He got older. And then eventually I had him one day and I had been handling him so much. I think his shell got pretty thin. And I accidentally put my finger through the top of his head and the eggs fell out onto Becky's leather bag. And she really hasn't forgiven me for it. That happened like almost 10 years ago.
Why was her bag near an ancient egg?
We were sitting at the bar at Brucey having a drink and her backpack was on her like lap or something. And I squished my finger through its head and out came Sheldon's insides. Ruining the backpack.
Well, if you were in Bulgaria, you should have kept him for 1 year and not put your finger through his face. So that was probably bad luck.
Probably. That explains a lot.
So that's why we paint eggs for Easter. And now let's talk about why people eat lamb for Easter.
Please.
So lamb... Well, first I have an anecdote or a personal story. But the first time I think that I ever ate lamb was in Astoria at... Like, I moved to New York in 2005 for a very short period of time before I moved back in 2008. And my boyfriend at the time was friends with this woman who's Greek, who lived in Astoria, like Greek Orthodox. So they had a full lamb Easter dinner. And that's the first time I ever tried lamb. So I always associate it with Greek Orthodox Thanksgiving in Astoria. But, and that's
so
kind of
interesting.
That's kind of its whole deal. But it's also sometimes eaten for Passover. So lamb is eaten for Passover if you are a Sephardic Jew, but not if you're Ashkenazi Jewish. So it's different depending on the person. Because Ashkenazi Jews believe that you're supposed to sacrifice the lamb. So it's like a sacrament. So you don't eat it. And Sephardic Jews are like, no, it's fine. You can eat it.
Right. But question, did you like the lamb when you first had it?
I don't remember.
Probably. Do you like it now?
Yeah, I like it now.
Okay.
My palate has expanded as an old. But so the whole deal with the lamb is that when God was like, yo, Egypt, you are really lame. I'm going to have my chosen people. I'm going to kill the firstborn son of every person who lives in Egypt unless they have the lamb's blood smeared on their doorway. And so those people were passed over, which is why it's called Passover. But this is also in Christianity, because I was raised with this story as well. So this Passover and Easter are pretty closely linked. They used to be more closely linked, but they actually tried to separate them out. And I read this website about written by Jewish men who believe in Jesus, is what they call them.
Jews for Jesus.
And they were talking about how the dates that so basically the Last Supper was actually a Passover Seder, because he has matzah and like the body of Christ is unleavened bread. And I didn't know that. But yeah, so they used to be more closely linked, but they changed the dates because there was a lot of Jewish persecution. And so then when the Roman Emperor made it illegal to persecute Jews in a very long time ago, they were like, let's change the date for the Christians and the Jews. But it used to be much more closely linked together.
Oh, how interesting.
Anyway, so when Jesus dies for our sins, he also becomes the Lamb of God. So there's that whole symbolism thing. But mostly, lamb has been eaten by Sephardic Jews and also Greek Orthodox people, because Greek Orthodox people do not eat pork. So they're not going to be having a ham. And also, going back to the olden times, lamb symbolized spring, when they were one of the first meats you could have after the winter slaughter. So that's why people are
baby
like...
baby lambs.
Yeah, so it's like it's associated with the spring rites, which were the pagan festivals that they try to like align with when they were making some of the Christian holidays too. Anyway, it's really interesting.
That's so interesting.
Do further reading on this, because I'm just giving you a real gloss over here, guys.
I really should. I don't know really anything about religion. I don't even know. Does everybody think that Jesus was real?
Mm-mm.
Do you guys? I mean, do you think, Chet? Where does Chet fall on this, I wonder?
Chet?
Where does Chet fall on this issue? Oh,
he's probably Christian. I bet you he's fucking Christian.
I'm just kidding. I don't care what he thinks, but
I definitely think that there was a dude named Jesus, and probably something interesting happened to him, and that has gotten real blown out of proportion.
Yeah, totally. It's like the worst game of telephone.
I mean,
ever.
As far as we know, we don't really know anything. It's the same thing with like King Arthur, but it's like he probably lived and he was probably crucified at some point. But whether or not like the prophet and the guy that was crucified are the same guy, nobody really knows. Like it's a big question mark. And Jewish people do not believe in the like iconic Son of God Jesus.
Right. I just think it would be hilarious if we could actually like time travel and zoom back and really like Jesus was just this totally benign dude, like maybe even the town drunk or something. And the story just kept growing and growing. And then like, you know, you bounce back in time. And you're like, dude, you have no idea how popular you're going to be.
Well, I think what's interesting to me is that the way that Christianity sort of is used as a way of colonizing and being like the Romans and the Imperium, it's really interesting in that way.
Right. I mean, it's been utilized to obviously persecute millions of people to like gain power. Like this story is just, I mean, this is, we can't get into this, but I think of this often. I was like, at what point do you, are you able to start trusting history? You know what I mean?
I would say at no point.
Yeah. I mean, what about, and not, especially not now. I mean, no. Good Lord.
But this also reminds me of this really great song by Judy Sill called Jesus Was a Crossmaker. It's a great song, you guys. We can't play it on here because it's an infringement of her copyright law, but
we don't have the rights to it.
Just
anymore.
Go check it out.
But, she has a great Nicole, you can sing it.
No.
Oh yes. No. Nicole, your favorite thing to do, singing on a podcast.
Can and probably should be singing it. Yeah.
People who sing on podcasts should be put to death.
Just like your friend Jesus. Just kidding. Sorry.
Uncomfortable.
We're not going to get death threats for this. If only anyone was listening to this show.
But if you guys don't know Judy Sill, she's a really sad story, but she's a wonderful singer-songwriter. Really just, you know, did the drugs all the way to the end and died of them when she was very young. But 70s, great. Check it out.
Amazing. Anyway,
the irony in that song is that Jesus actually was a crossmaker because he was a carpenter. So.
Oh, yeah.
He made crosses before embarking out to be the prophet and then, you know, ironically died on one. What can you do?
Yeah, what irony. But everyone did used to say that Jesus had a great sense of irony.
He did.
He was a real class clown.
Yeah. So
much less like Chad Hanks.
Moving on to another great food that people usually eat for Easter, which there's a ham in my refrigerator right now, which is Easter ham.
Really? Do you? I thought you don't like ham.
I don't like ham. I didn't put it in the refrigerator, but I live with my parents.
Excuse us. I didn't put it there.
You definitely took offense at the idea that
this is like,
I don't like
that
ham.
Was her deal.
I know. I mean, I was like,
I will eat ham changed. Now. I will eat some ham, but this is like a real life, like a honey baked ham situation. So
it's still alive. Got it.
No, thank you. But so the reason that we eat ham at Easter, the reason that you eat ham at Easter is because.
How dare you imply that I eat ham ever? Because, this is a ham free house.
It's because back in the 6th century, when the year was like 500, people in Germany were like, hey, we should eat ham for Easter, okay? And the reason why they were saying all this is because pigs were, in addition to lamb, pigs, you would slaughter them and you would hang them in the autumn and then they'd be ready to eat in spring. So they were basically one of the first things you could eat after the winter was over. So it symbolized, you know, the new seasons. And when Christianity moved up north to Germany, they decided to merge Easter with the pagan celebration of a goddess, the goddess of the rising dawn, whose name is also Easter.
Coincidence. Her name is Easter.
Yeah. Well, it's like E-O-S. I mean, I don't know if you pronounce it Easter, but I couldn't pronounce it. You know.
Sure,
it's a
sure.
5th century or 6th century German pronunciation of Easter, man.
I think it's pronounced Keith. And that is where we got the name, the first name, Keith, and the last name.
So, yeah, so they were already eating ham and celebrating the goddess of the rising dawn and slaughtering and sacrificing pigs to her, and blood was running through the fields. And then when we colonized America, we brought the pigs over here because there were no pigs native to America, which I did not know until just doing this research. Brought every pig that's in America right now was not native to this land. We brought them over, and that's why Americans eat ham for Easter, because
amazing. And that is why 40% of the population is pigs.
Yes, that is why. And then lesser known but still something that I kind of know about is people eat white borscht on Easter, and this is a Polish tradition. Basically what you do is you get your Easter basket and you fill it with everything that symbolizes life. So you have like sausage, you have herbs, you have all these things, and you take it to church and they bless it, and then you go home and you make this Easter soup from the blessed things, and it starts off the season, and it symbolizes that you, because it symbolizes every part of life, so that's been blessed, so you're eating it, so then your year is going to start off good.
Oh, that's awesome. And white borscht is delicious.
Yes. And then there's also Mayritsa soup, which is a traditional Greek Orthodox soup that they would just, it basically just uses up all the other parts of the lamb that they don't use making the lamb feast for dinner, which I think is kind of cool. Vintage thing to do. Use the whole animal.
Totally.
Although if you're a Sephardic Jew, you're not allowed to roast the entire lamb. It's against the Jewish law. So be careful. And then
hear that, Sephardics.
Jelly beans, which we actually already talked about on the show, so I'm just going to very briefly go over this, but the origins of the jelly bean are unknown. We don't know why they exist, but
they disappeared.
People were like, we're pretty sure that the soft, chewy center derives from Turkish delight, which is a pre-biblical treat. Like,
oh yeah,
they were making Turkish delight before the Bible. Who knew?
Interesting.
But they became associated with Easter in the 1930s because they're egg-shaped. Even though they're called jelly beans, people are like, oh, these are egg-shaped. This is really...
Yeah, they're jelly eggs.
They fit right inside of this Easter egg that I'm going to put in the yard. So that's why we eat jelly beans on Easter. I love jelly beans also.
Big props. I don't know if we talked about this privately or publicly, but the Trader Joe's jelly beans are delicious.
This was private. They're
mad good. I'm not even like a huge jelly bean enthusiast. Oh, mostly like the thing is with Jelly Bellies, I get nervous about all the flavors that are gross. But these Trader Joe's Jelly Bellies are delicious. And I just want to briefly put an asterisk on something I just said about 40% of the population being pigs. That was not a fat shaming joke. I was thinking of like male chauvinist pigs, just for the record.
I thought you were thinking about actual pigs and how many.
Oh, no, no.
The state of America.
I was thinking about like the Rush Limbaughs. So now that's one less pig. But anyway, go.
Wow.
I am taking no prisoners on this show, folks.
It's just been a while since you died. You're taking the pot shot now. It's fine. Easter Sunday.
Exactly. I'm going to take this Easter to talk about how much I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I've held my tongue this far, but I cannot another second. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Amazing, Nicole. What an incredible deep dive into Easter foods. Love it. So good.
Thank you.
Should we take a break? This show is brought to you by eggs. It's going to be I hope it's something funny. Matt, a couple weeks ago, we did a show on cheese and the show was brought to us by cheese. It was like amazing.
Yeah, that's a good bet. If you want to try and make that happen more often than not, go with cheeses. Cheeses are a good move.
Okay. So my part's going to be about Easter cheese.
Classic.
Quickly. Everyone's favorite Easter cheese. Okay.
Oh, milking a rabbit would be very difficult.
Take a long time.
It's not as bad as you would think. Okay, let's take a break. Oh, yeah. Definitely would give you carpal tunnel. Okay, I'm just going to go quickly try that out. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
And we're back. Guys, who milked a rabbit on the break? I know I did.
How was that for you?
Sour and sharp.
How was that for the rabbit?
You milked the rabbit and it was sour and sharp.
Well, the milk is sour and the teeth and nails are sharp.
Ah.
Speaking of rabbits, I have a tale for you. Do you guys ever wonder what a rabbit's tail looks like without fur? Do you think it's curly or like what do you think it's like under there?
It's never occurred to me until this moment, and now I'm scared.
I've never had such a sacrilegious thought.
A nude,
why would
a shaved rabbit?
Maybe there's just nothing there.
Such a perfect poof.
I mean, I've seen a skinless rabbit before, or it's a, you know, like a rabbit ready to go to get eaten, but I don't.
Yes, really... but I think they detail it.
They detail it.
Yeah, it's detailed, much like Chad Hanks's car. Like his Hummer, which we know
detail.
He drives, which we know he was born in. Okay, so the story I'm going to tell you today is about everybody's favorite candy and some people's least favorite candy, Peeps. Dun dun.
Peeps.
I think they're fine. I don't care about them one way or another. I have a very middle of the road approach towards Peeps. If they were around, I would bite one's head off. But if I never have one again, I don't care.
I hate them.
Okay. Matt?
I would not consume a Peep. But we stopped at a gas station on a road trip recently and got a nice pair of like Peep, I don't know what to call this, like a headband with Peeps that are on top of it, because there's all the Easter tchotchke in the stores currently.
Really?
Were they edible Peeps?
No. They're not edible Peeps. They're just in the shape of Peeps.
Huh. Okay. Oh, wow. Well, they are cute.
They're cute. It does sound like you guys have some freaky things going on at your house.
What town were you in?
You guys are wearing Peep paraphernalia?
We're wearing Peep paraphernalia.
Peep
I think
merch?
we were just so hyped on getting out of the house that
we were like, totally. Oh my God, look at this. They're selling Easter stuff somewhere. Yeah. We have to buy it.
Yeah, that is 100% what happened. And then Kate also picked up food dye and like food glitter, and we dyed some eggs at home as though we had children to entertain. It was just us.
Okay, but did you eat the eggs after you decorated them?
Yeah. Okay. I had my parents over for dinner and I made them. I feel like
you
they were eating
hard-boiled eggs for dinner?
Well, no.
You're a murderer.
Salad, and they were like, well, at least one of the eggs was like extreme blue, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God, you make hard-boiled. I'm never coming to dinner at your house. That's
I told you before
eggs.
We started recording that.
I
lit a fire in the oven on that same meal prep, and then served them food dyed eggs. So yeah, you really shouldn't come over here.
Oh my goodness! And you're wearing your like Peeps outfit the whole time.
Oh, you're sure. Wearing a Peeps headband the whole time.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm
good
my
thing
perishing.
Your wife's mother-in-law wasn't there to tell you don't need a headband.
Oh my God. Okay. So let's get started, guys. Peeps are manufactured by the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania based company, Just Born Candy Company. That is what it is called. The Born Supremacy.
Just Born?
Just Born. Like Just Blaze, except
Bjorn?
Just Born.
Or...
No, not Just Bjorn. Not like Bjorn Corn. Just Born.
Okay.
B-O-R-N.
Are
no
they,
E.
Is it a religious thing? Are they religious?
No, okay. It's owned by Matt Damon. Just kidding. The
oh,
Born
Candy
Company.
B-O-U-R-N-E.
No, it's Just Born, B-O-R-N. Okay.
It's like the newborn supremacy where he has a kid.
Yeah. He has the Born supremacy.
Oh, God. Sorry
oh,
for that joke.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry for that joke.
No, please. I think it's funny. Okay, Just Born was founded in 1910 by a Russian immigrant named Sam Born.
Oh.
It's named after him, and I'm going to explain why it's called Just Born in a moment. He's a bit of a wordsmith, if you will. Anyway, they also manufacture some of the other of Earth's other most disgusting candies, Mike and Ike's, Hot Tamales, and Peanut Chews.
No, I do like Mike and Ike's, though.
Yeah, Mike and Ike's are pretty good, but, like, again... Not top tier. We're not talking top shelf candy.
No.
So he immigrated from Russia to Brooklyn, and this guy was something of a genius. He also manufactured like a better version of chocolate sprinkles, invented the shell that is used on Eskimo pies. And his best invention was a machine that put sticks into lollipop, and he called it the Born Sucker Machine. Which is the next Born movie. That's funny. The Born Identity, Born Supremacy, and the Born Sucker Machine, which is just about this guy.
Starring Matt Damon
as whatever this guy's name is, Born. What did I say his name was?
Just
I forgot.
Born.
Oh, Just Born. Hey, his name is Just Born. Sam Born.
Justin Born.
Okay. For this invention, when he invented the Born Sucker Machine, there's a joke in there somewhere. He was given the keys to the city of San Francisco, which is, I don't know why San Francisco of all places. He was in Brooklyn, but anyway, I guess they love lollipops in San Francisco. So he earned enough money to open his own chocolate retail store in Brooklyn, where he displayed the freshest chocolate in the window with a sign that read, Just Born.
The chocolate was just born,
which begs the person to think that the chocolate was given birth to out of a birth canal, or at least it does to me, which is disturbing. But anyway, to this day, the company remains just that. During the 1920s and 30s, Just Born grew significantly because they kept like acquiring other companies. And in 1953, Just Born acquires the rights to the Rhoda Candy Company and its marshmallow chick line.
What?
And yeah, they had a... But so look, this is actually the most interesting part of the story. Rhoda Candy Company, led by Roscoe E. Rhoda. Another interesting name for a baby. Roscoe? Baby Roscoe?
That's cute, though. People definitely name their babies Roscoe right now. Old-timey names are back in.
How about Bosco?
Sure.
But so remember that horrible chocolate drink? Okay, go ahead.
So there were already marshmallow peeps being made in whatever year this was? 1950?
In the 50s by the Roscoe Candy Company. Now, let me tell you why. This is by far the most interesting part of this whole ridiculous story. Okay, so Roscoe was always trying to compete with Hershey's because they were also in Pennsylvania. And they were trying to find out, they're like, oh, Easter is going to be the time we make the money, blah, blah, blah. So to this day in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, there remains a center of a historically religious German group just known as, quote, the Dutch. Now, I think it's the Pennsylvania Dutch, but I don't know if, like, are the Amish very religious, like, in like Jesus religious, or do they have their own belief? I don't know if you're talking about the Amish here.
Well, the Amish are the way that they are because of Bible beliefs from the Bible.
Okay, got it. Well, it's just, this says the Dutch, and so they were catering to the Dutch. Now, I think of the movie Dutch with the guy from Married with Children. But I don't think that has anything to do with the story.
I was just thinking of the restaurant, The Dutch.
Oh, right. Yes. R.I.P. So they weren't very religious themselves at the Rhoda Candy Company, but they appealed to the Dutch by producing candy shaped into religious icon imagery, including bunnies, jelly eggs, holy crosses. This also included making treats out of Athlea officinalis, otherwise known as the marshmallow plant, which is native to Germany, France, and the northeastern United States. Isn't that weird? I mean, I know there is a marshmallow plant, but I didn't know that had anything to do with marshmallows.
I did not know that there was a marshmallow plant. What zone can I grow? I want them. I want to grow them. they grow on trees is what I just learned.
It is a tree.
It's good for your bladder, marshmallow root. I know that.
But yeah, anyway, marshmallow root I knew is a thing. But I also, they made a marshmallow that's in the shape of a plant?
No, they made marshmallow candies to appease these Germans who love marshmallows. these marshmallow loving freaks.
Right, but I thought that you said that in one of those iterations they actually made a marshmallow to resemble the marshmallow plant.
No, no. This included making treats out of Athalia ulfocinalis, otherwise known as marshmallow plant.
Okay, okay.
Which is why I'm confused, because I didn't know that had any part in actual marshmallows. But we don't have time to really deep dive into that. You can all do your own independent research about marshmallows. So making these types of shaped marshmallows was an extremely labor-intensive process. It took perhaps as many as 80 people to make limited amounts only during the Easter season, and each worker spooned small batches of freshly made marshmallow made from the flour of the marshmallow plant, whipped egg whites, and lots of sugar into fluted steel tip, which squirted out the mixture in the shape of baby chicks. Then they were left to air dry. Records say that it took upwards of 27 hours to make one tray of the first peeps. So basically when Just Born acquired the Rhoda Candy Company, they're like, this is ridiculous. This takes absolutely too long. And they built a machine called the Depositor, which was an automated machine that spit out six rows of five peeps at a time. Rather than taking 27 hours to make a tray of peeps, it now took 6 minutes.
Oh no, so they had to lay off all those people that were making the peeps.
I know, they're all destitute, all those peep makers. They traveled the streets for years.
Listen, I did a quick little research here. So basically marshmallow root works in the same way that gelatin does. Most marshmallows are made with gelatin, but marshmallow root acts as a coagulant in that way. But
it's so used to be made with marshmallow.
It's way more finicky that you just really don't want to use it. You rather just use gelatin.
All right. So anyway, they used that machine up until 2014 when they got like a new machine that made peeps even faster.
And they had to lay off all the other employees.
Yes, and it got replaced by the Peepinator. Arnold Peepinator. So every year, 2 billion peeps candies are produced at Easter time, which is a lot.
At Easter time only?
Yes, at Easter time alone. Oh, also, I want to mention that I got this information from a Vox article, but most of it from a very informative article called The History of Peeps by Matt Blitz in Food and Wine Magazine and Wikipedia. Forgot to say that before. So yes, every year people, they make 2 billion peeps at Easter time. 70 to 75% of people prefer fresh peeps, quote unquote. Some people like stale peeps. So that means there are millions and millions of stale peeps consumed at Easter time.
No, what this means is that there was a survey sent out to people that said, do you like fresh or stale peeps? Answer this question.
Yeah. And 25% of those people are like, I like them when they're stale. I don't understand that. How could a peep get any worse? Leave it on the counter for 5 minutes.
Well, they get stale in the package.
Yeah, they do. As do Cadbury cream eggs. Did you ever have a Cadbury? I know you don't really like them, Nicole. Matt, where do you lie on Cadbury cream eggs? Like, dislike?
I don't actually know. I don't know that I've had one.
Oh my God. What are you, from Mars?
Sort of. I was the weird kid who didn't really like do many of the candies, and I've just never really corrected that.
That explains your long ponytail.
You didn't do them, or your parents didn't let you have them?
I don't think I would run around trick-or-treating and then pick out a few of the like just pure chocolate things and give everything else to my friends or whoever.
Oh my God. Huh. You're incorrigible.
Yeah.
It's how you keep your slim figure though.
Yeah. You do look great though. You're over 200 years old and you don't look a day over 35. So they're typically sold in packs of 5 conjoined marshmallows. One serving of peeps contains only 140 calories, which is a reason to eat peeps because you can get a lot of sugar.
I'd rather just eat a regular marshmallow, calories. Which tastes 10 times more delicious for some reason.
Or just like a packet of sugar. Like, it's not worth eating a peep. They're so chemically.
That's what I think. That's what my problem with peeps is. They taste like as if I was just eating a spoonful of sugar, which makes the medicine go down.
Exactly. Peeps are sometimes jokingly described as being indestructible. In 1999, the year of our Lord, Peepus Christ, scientists at Emory University performed experiments on batches of peeps to see how easily they could be dissolved, burned, or otherwise disintegrated using such agents as cigarette smoke, boiling water and liquid nitrogen. Can you imagine cigarette burning smoke? A peep with a cigarette?
But it said cigarette
how
smoke.
Dark.
It's just a I know, cigarette just like, smoke. So they're just smoking just like, in the same room as peeps.
And they're just smoking around peeps. It's just like, that's where Keith Hernandez reenters this story. He was the one who had to burn a peep with his cigarette smoke. In addition to discussing whether peeps migrate or evolve, they claim that the eyes of the confectionery of the confection, quote, wouldn't dissolve in anything. One website claims that peeps are insoluble in acetone, water, diluted sulfuric acid, and sodium hydroxide.
Acetone?
I mean, I'm sure you could dissolve a peep in acetone, but I'm not going to try. Huh. But please, if you're out there dissolving peeps in things you find in the house, let us know what you find. I would think Drano would probably dissolve a peep.
Sure.
Be careful not to eat it. So they are not for everyone. Angela Hill of the Oakland Tribune finds them unsettling and says, quote, I dislike them intensely, and they know it. Which merely bolsters their resolve. I can see it in their beady little food-colored eyes, their defiance, their sheer pluck. You can't get just one peep, you know, and that is no accident. They come in packs. One might even say battalions.
Their food-colored eyes?
Yeah.
Their food-colored. The color of food.
Classic food color.
No, they're eyes that are colored with food coloring.
All right. Food colored. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
So, as you might have guessed, just like with basically every other thing, Americans try to see how many of these they can fucking eat at one time. So, competitive eating champion Matt Stoney, fake name, I
do
think.
Do you know him, Matt?
Matt, oh yeah,
cousin,
Matt.
Cousin
do you know
Matt?
Matt?
Yeah.
All Matts know each other, right? Broke the world record for eating fucking peeps at the World Peeps Eating Championship to be a fly on the wall in National Harbor, Maryland, devouring 255 peeps in under 5 minutes.
In under five minutes. That's fine. What though,
do inside of you?
I mean, it's only it's like 200 marshmallows. But the great thing about supporting your boyfriend, the competitive eater, is it's you only have to be there for 5 minutes and then you can leave.
That's true. I'm picturing it just being barfed up in one long yellow, like, you know when they show the videos of like making pink slime for like chicken nuggets? Like that, but going out of your mouth instead of into a chicken nugget.
Thank you for that.
Stoney. Who hails from San Jose, California, shattered the previous record of 200 peeps, which Stoney himself had previously set. So good for you, buddy.
So
you ate 55 more peeps. He's the only
himself.
One who wants to do this.
He's by himself.
My money is on Stoney for the next record.
And let's say, oh my God, this is from 2017. So a myriad of things could have happened to this gentleman. The 24-year-old, what's that?
Is he single?
Call us. He has since, it says, changed his name to Chet Hanks and started speaking in a phony patois accent. Just kidding. The 24-year-old has also earned $1,750 in prize money and a peeps-filled trophy.
No.
Yes. And Matt, I bet did you get that at the local, wherever you got your peeps headband? Did they have peeps trophies too?
Peeps trophy? No. Well, Kate was inside, so I don't technically know what other peeps paraphernalia I missed out on.
Peep. It's called peepophernalia in the peep community. The peep community.
Yeah.
Oh, God. According to Major League Eating, Stoney has at one time or another held the world record for most bacon consumed in 5 minutes. If you're wondering, it's 182 strips. Most moon pies eaten in 8 minutes, 85. And most birthday cake consumed in 8 minutes, 14.5 pounds. That's like saying, that's sad to me, the birthday cake one.
You know how you know competitive eating is not a real thing? They measure the bacon consumed in strips. Like, how about weight? Why not weight?
Exactly. Absolutely not, because there's all kinds of strips.
But I ask you, what makes that cake that he ate a birthday cake? It had to be someone's birthday. Otherwise, it's just cake.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point. some peeps recipes that I thought were scary were pizza, which is pizza covered in peeps.
No.
Peeps infused vodka, Matt, your favorite.
Yeah.
And a Peeps s'mores skillet.
You haven't
skillet.
Lived until you boofed a peep.
No!
Boofed a peep! You haven't lived until you butt chugged a peep. You soak your tampon in peeps
the
and peep,
the peep itself is the soaking medium. You soak the peep.
No,
you soak the peep and use it as a tampon.
And then you dip the tampon. Oh, the peep is the tampon. Okay.
The peep is the tampon, which brings me to my next peep invention, peeps pads. Peeps pads.
Pee pads.
Peeps? What do we call that?
Peeps pads. Triply absorbent. Okay, so, and pee a peep s'mores
with
skillet.
With dry weave.
What'd you say?
Pee pads with dry weave.
Oh, yeah, you have to dry them out first. They are dry weaved ones. That's what the other 75% of stale peeps go towards, maxi pad lining.
This could be a very successful Etsy store you've just invented.
Right? Although, as we know, sugar and vaginas do not mix.
Stay away.
Momofuku Milk Bar's Christina Tosi suggests skewering them and roasting them over a fire, which is why she's so famous and rich, because she has great ideas like this. Or drying them out and making peeps chips. Bravo,
sick
madam.
Sick burn.
Bravo. I mean, I do celebrate your success, but truly, I can't even imagine that being a real recipe by a famous rich person. Peeps bunnies were introduced in the 1980s, and now the line includes hearts, pumpkins, minions, and more.
Yeah, my stepmom bought home goddamn peep pumpkins this year, and I was like, I thought we only had to be subjected to these on Easter, but they were also
yeah, Halloween. That person, whoever had that idea, is a marketing genius.
Right? They even have them for Mother's and Father's Day. Just kidding. Little peep fathers that are bald and mean.
It's a peep.
Some of the most disgusting flavors are root beer, pudding, pumpkin spice, blueberry, bubblegum.
Just pudding? Just this pudding. Is a flavor?
Yes, just pudding.
But there's
bubblegum. Fruit punch, which for some reason disturbs me the most of all. Pancake and syrup, red velvet, caramel apple, sweet lemonade, and Nicole, your favorite, mystery.
Sweet lemonade as opposed to not sweet lemonade, which is just lemon juice and water.
Exactly.
But pudding now, is not a flavor.
I know. Well, take it up with Big Peeps, okay? Take it up with Jason Bourne
just
or
Bourne,
whatever.
Okay.
Matt Damon.
I'm going to give him a call.
Take it up with your local Peeps representative, Matt Damon. Peeps spokesman Matt Damon says, just kidding. In 2021, the most horrifying thing of all has transpired. No, it's not over 500,000 people dying in this country of a horrible, avoidable plague. But rather, it's Pepsi and Peeps collaborating on a new drink that combines two extra sweet flavors, Pepsi versus Peeps. That's right, folks. A Peeps-flavored Pepsi.
It's called Pepsi versus Peeps?
Correct. The new cola, dubbed Pepsi versus Peeps, mixes the taste of Pepsi with the pillowy, soft, and sweet marshmallow flavor of Peeps.
I was imagining like a peep that like you could was also the pouch for the Pepsi. You could like squeeze the Pepsi out of the peep.
Right, because pillowy soft is not a flavor. That's a texture.
Correct. So I, like both of you, think it would make more sense to have a Pepsi-flavored Peeps, but in this case, we have Peep-flavored Pepsi.
So I was horrified to learn that there's watermelon-flavored Mountain Dew now, and John Cena does the commercials, but this is an abomination. Yeah.
Well, there's also watermelon-flavored Peeps, so John Cena and Matt Damon have clearly collaborated on something evil.
I know. John Cena has to get paid, though. He has to have bespoke suits because his arms are so big.
I do love John Cena. And speaking of Peeps, one day, maybe like 6 months ago, I don't do a lot of weed, but I ate an edible and I was like, I wonder when this thing is going to kick in. And I'm looking at my phone and I see something about John Cena. And all of a sudden, like an hour has gone by and I'm Googling like people John Cena has dated. I know everything about John Cena.
I love him. I really do love him.
He's lovely. Have you ever seen that movie with Amy Schumer? What is the
that movie that she's in where she plays like an alcoholic or whatever?
The Judd Apatow movie, Trainwreck. And he is amazing in that movie. He makes that entire film.
Yeah. He also did like, I don't know. He's done some Jimmy Fallon stuff. But have you guys ever put a peep in the microwave?
I don't have a microwave, but if I'm thinking about getting one just so I could try this. Does it, what happens?
I don't know. I love that you turn this into some sort of brag about not owning a microwave. But so basically,
I don't have enough space. Is that a brag? I wish I had a microwave.
They like quadruple in size really, really fast. And they will catch on fire if you leave them there for too long. But I had a roommate.
Matt, you hear that?
Yeah,
careful.
It's right up my alley.
I had a roommate one time years and years ago here in Indiana, and she was like, yo, check this out. And she put peeps on a plate and put them in the microwave, and we had to like look through the microwave window because as soon as you take them out, they deflate. But they get so terrifyingly huge in the microwave. It's worth checking out the YouTube videos because they're out there.
Do they explode or they just expand?
They will explode, yeah. They get really big before they explode.
Well, much like a gremlin, there's only one of like three ways to destroy a peep: in the microwave, with water, and how else can a gremlin die?
I don't know, but you can't destroy a peep with acetone, so I think water's not going to work.
Right. Guys, let's do a quick top three here, and this is a question for all of us. Should we do Easter candy top three, or just top three favorite things about Easter in general?
Let's do candy.
Okay, great. Nicole?
Oh, I have to go first?
Yeah.
Well, you have had time to think about it. Also, maybe Matt can go first since he only likes like one type of candy.
Oh, yeah. See, Matt's, we already like, covered enough information that you know I don't have a good answer for this.
Matt's favorite fucking Easter candy is like grape nuts.
Asparagus.
Asparagus. Yeah. Grape nuts.
Ham, hard-boiled eggs. And
a rational egg.
Hard-boiled egg chocolate. With the shell.
And just a chocolate bar.
A chocolate in the shape of a rack of lamb.
Yeah. So news. Matt, you're also a vegetarian, so don't front like you. Ham is your favorite candy.
you caught me.
Everybody, this is an expose. Investigation. Yeah. Patterson.
An hour into this podcast, we have arrived at the true point, which was to catch me in my vegetarianism.
Lord. Okay, my favorite are, and I'm not afraid to say it, Cadbury cream egg. Love it. The British ones are delicious. The stale ones are not as good as the fresh ones. When they get stale, they get crunchy and hard in the middle.
God.
Yeah, I know. But they never stink like a regular old egg. I love a Cadbury cream egg. Number two, also egg-shaped, a Reese's egg.
Oh, yeah, those are
good. And I'm going to tack on to that, which I bought today, a Reese's Pieces egg. So it's essentially just a giant Reese's Pieces. I mean, that's as good as it gets.
No, wait, I saw those. It's just a Reese's cup stuffed with little pieces of Reese's Pieces.
No. These are Reese's Pieces. They've been around for a long time now, but they're very hard to find. It's a Reese's Pieces in the shape of an egg.
What?
And it's just they're delicious. I'll send you
pictures. I've never seen
those
before.
Photographic proof later.
Because they do have those stupid Reese's cups stuffed with Reese's Pieces, and they're really annoying.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. And then my number one favorite thing is like Brock's terrible, like generic flavored jelly beans with the very thick, crunchy shell. And what I really like jelly bean wise is actually the smaller ones that are very pale colored and they have like a purple flavor.
Yeah, I don't like
those. I like the grape ones. Yeah. I like those jelly beans. I don't love Jelly Bellies. There's too many, like, variables. If you bite into a buttered popcorn, my day's ruined. My week, even.
Well, I just want to say I do love Jelly Bellies because I know I can identify all the flavors on site. So I know which ones I like and which ones I don't like. I also really like Starburst jelly beans.
Those are delicious.
Just a great texture, great size, just a great... Good job, guys. Who knew that you could do the crossover that way? Most of them are not good. But I also, my favorite thing for Easter is the Russell Stover dark chocolate marshmallow egg that they have. Mm-hmm. Those are so good.
That's great.
Because it's just like a thin shell with a marshmallow inside and it's just perfectly done. Delicious. And then I also love the Reese's eggs. I bought some for my dad because he's a Reese cup guy. And... Mm. We bought some that I didn't know this was like the new iteration of them, but they're completely flat on one side and like domed on the other side and small. And they're just like they're nice.
Perfect bite. They're lovely. They're a perfect bite. And like, I don't know, something about, I actually like all of the like specialty Reese's shapes better than I like an actual cup. They just have more peanut butter in them, I think.
Oh, I really like a small Reese's cup, just like an individual Reese's cup.
The baby Reese's cup.
Unless you accidentally buy at Christmas time, as I did, the ones that are that small, and yet somehow they still insist on putting tiny Reese's pieces in there, and it's so not okay.
That sounds terrible. Well, I also just want to quickly mention before we go that Easter always reminds me of my dad and my grandpa, both who are deceased, and I'm waiting for them to rise back up from the grave. Hopefully this Easter it will happen.
You're waiting for them.
But no, they always used to make pizza rustica. You know, in Italian families, it's very popular, and it's delicious. It's basically kind of like a quiche frittata thing. Well, it's not really like that much. It's more cheese than it is egg, but it's like salami and sausage and ham and provolone cheese and prosciutto and ricotta, and it's all layered together and baked. And so this year at the pop-up, we're doing a pizza rustica lasagna. And
it sounds gross when you say it, but I never had one until you had one at Brucey for brunch during Easter.
Yeah, it has a very specific flavor. You must love cured meats to
enjoy
it.
It was delicious.
It's delicious. And then my grandpa also used to make this thing, which is, I don't know if it's popular in other cultures. There's a lot of Italian-American special things. Like, you find all these, like, wacky pastries at, like, the pastry shop that have, like, ricotta and, like, they're shaped like lambs. But my grandpa used to make, basically, it was like a challah bread, kind of, but obviously didn't call it challah, but it was like an egg-enriched, like, brioche braided bread, and it had colored Easter eggs braided into the bread.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've had that before. Yeah, I don't know why.
It was fun. It was fun. But anyway, what a fun show. And also, happy Passover to our Jewish listeners. I'm half Jewish. I made some matzo ball soup this week. It was fucking delicious.
Ooh, I love matzo ball soup.
Oh, man, this one was really good. But you know what? I used baking powder in it.
You used peeps instead of matzo balls?
Yes, I used peeps in my matzo balls. That's a Christina Tosi recipe. No, I use baking powder in it, which is ridiculous because it's leavening it. But it's fine. I'm not religious. But I was like, this is a great recipe. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't really share this with anyone. It just shows how little I care about religion, my own religion.
Which is fine.
It's totally fine. Well, what are you guys going to do for Easter? Anything fun? Matt, we already know you have a special outfit to wear.
Yeah, I think I'm going to don my ears and then go hunt for eggs in other people's yards early in the day. See if I can get some of candy.
I'm just picturing this in the middle of Brooklyn, and also you don't even like candy, so you're stealing like, it from like small
I like
children.
Taking it from others. It's the joy of the hunt.
You're just hunting around in your peeps thong and your peeps ears, hoping that one of the
your
eggs is full of
thong?
Almonds.
Okay, so you're ready to sell a thong, and he's taking candy from children. I love it. I love it.
Vegetarians can't hunt, you know, so you gotta like, do what you can.
I don't know. I never thought about that before. You're right. You're right.
Holy shit, that's
you
so
you should
funny.
Shoot those kids with like arrows, too. Why not? Why the hell not?
Exactly. While you're at it, kill somebody.
Great idea. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Easter murder. Nicole, what are you doing?
I'm not probably just avoiding the ham that's going to happen.
Avoiding ham.
God, like well, the smell of cooked ham in the house is so disgusting to me. I want to already kill myself.
Well, you're not going to like your belated Christmas present, which is ham perfume.
Ham perfume.
I thought you loved the smell of ham.
Oh, no.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in, and may you all have delicious Easter candy and lots of eggs.
And, a very merry Easter.
A very merry Easter. May you see Jesus creeping around.
Spring is here, bitches.
Yeah.
No, that is exciting. We need that. Traditionally, I don't love spring for some reason, but
oh, no,
spring
this is
sucks.
Be the best spring of all time.
I mean, okay, yeah. I'm on the same page as you. I just want to quickly say this because I have to get this off of my chest because I don't think I've said this in the podcast yet. But people who say that they love spring are sadistic monsters because spring itself is really shitty. Like, it'll be warm one day and then it'll sleet for the next 2 weeks and then it'll be like 75 at you know, noon, and then you're out in the park, and at 5, it's like raining and it's only 25 degrees and then it'll start snowing. So I don't understand why people are into that, because it's fucked up. But
I agree.
The in between, since I'm still like living in isolation at my parents' house, I only get to leave the house every once in a while. And so the nice, like today it was 75 here and it was great. But tomorrow, literally to punish us, it's going to be like 22 degrees.
Totally. I think that's the reason I don't like spring is I feel like it doesn't have any grit to it. It is the most like fucking lightweight, like baby season. Literally, like everything's like puffy colored and like, I don't know. It's just pastels. Like, it doesn't do it for me. There's no heft to it. There's no meat. There's no like rawness. Like, summer's hot and it's like gritty and there's like delicious, juicy produce and people are screaming and like things are happening and like winter's cold and every, you know, there's like such an emotion to every other season. And it's like spring and lavender and like it's pretty, it's fine, but I find it to be like, I don't know, there's not enough drama really for me.
It's high drama, it's constantly changing, but it's just like usually it's freezing and it snows in goddamn April. It doesn't even get hot until June.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the color palette. There's no song that reminds me. I don't know. I'm not into it.
I do like seeing here in the suburbs, it's cute that there are crocuses coming out and they're bright purple and they're already just like, here I am. I don't care if it's getting 31 degrees tomorrow. I'm still alive, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope for it to pass by rapidly and then all of a sudden we're in June and I'm at the beach. But thank you very much for listening to all of this mindless chatter. Chet, if you're out there, please explain to us where you came from. Oh, how did this come to be?
We did talk shit about you, but we would love to have you on the show, and we're so sorry. We were judging you, and honestly, we'd love to hear your side of the story. Or Tom Hanks, or Rita.
I'd prefer to hear from Tom. I'm not interested in Chet, and I'm afraid of people that say things like white boy summer, to be honest.
Yeah, but we should hear
it's
his
side. Very disturbing.
But also, yes, totally. Colin, if you want to come out, whatever. Any of the Hankses, come on over.
Yeah. Totally. This show is we welcome all Hankses to explain themselves. We do need to get to the bottom of understanding how this person came to be. He's a menace to society. Anyway, that's it for us. Hasta la pasta.
Bye.
Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.